Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Welcome to Center Point. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Anbar. In this show, we will discuss ways that we can journey to our own centers. This can help us access our inner resources to improve our physical abilities and health, our mental strength, our emotional well-being, and our spirituality. And I'm very pleased to introduce our guest today, Ben Vosburgh. Welcome, Ben.
Ron, thanks for having me today. Excited to have a chat.
Absolutely. I'm so eager to find out about your life and how you create your business. Let me tell the audience a little bit about you. You have been deeply rooted in San Diego, the place where you grew up and cultivated a love for community, the outdoors, and sports. And after you finished your education at San Diego State University, you took over the role of a CEO at Paw Commons Pet Resort. And you've done that for the past 17 years. And under your guidance, Paw Commons has grown into a leading destination for pet care. It's known for its exceptional service and attention to the well-being of pets. You also have an active lifestyle. You love surfing, the waves of San Diego, playing softball, and hitting the golf course. And these hobbies allow you to connect with your friends, stay active, and enjoy the beauty of San Diego. And you told me what defined you the most is your dedication to your family. As a proud father to your two children, Mason and Cannon, and you're deeply involved in their lives. You always prioritize family time among your other commitments. And for the last 17 years, you've been happily in a relationship with your partner, Andrea, and you have built a strong and supportive family unit. I would love to know about how you became the CEO of Paw Commons. As you know, I counsel a lot of adolescents and young adults who are trying to figure out what they will do with your life. So tell me how you went from San Diego State University to being in charge of Paw Commons.
You know, like many kids, when they go to college, they have very little planning involved. I remember I wanted to go to college in order to get a business degree because at some point I wanted to run a business. I always had a job since the age I was 13 years old, whether it was a baseball card shop or I had a short stint at SeaWorld at one point. You know, everybody's first job in San Diego when you're 15 and a half, you go work at SeaWorld. And then I worked at a surf shop, followed that up. I was a bell captain at a hotel for a few years through college and worked at a restaurant as well. But I always would kind of analyze how it could be better, you know. And it's kind of like I was the Monday morning quarterback, you know. It's really easy to pick things out from afar. And I had relationships with the owners where I would say, hey, I think we could do this, I think we could do this better, you know, whatever, because I was excited. And, you know, oddly, most of my team and coworkers were fairly similar. You know, we all said, like, it could be better for these reasons or whatever it may be. So that just that passion to improve upon a process has always been there. But when after I graduated college, I was, you know, like most kids, I was a little lost. Took a corporate job. I think I was selling internet services and, you know, I was walking the streets with business cards and had to knock on 50 to 100 doors a day. And I didn't last long. Let's say I was there for 4 or 5 months. My sales were amazing, but I remember calling, you know, Andrea and saying, Dre, I think I'm just going to move to Hawaii and I'll be a bartender and, you know, life will be good. But at that same time, my sister was kind of a newly practicing attorney, and, you know, I said, why not just go to law school? You know, I won't have to make a decision. I can go to law school for 3 years. So I started studying for my LSAT, And it just so happened at the time I was putting out my resume, and, you know, this will date me quite a bit, but, you know, back then, if you were looking for kind of a starting job, you did it on one of two sites. You know, you were on Monster.com or you were on Craigslist. And I just so happened to kind of put my resume out in those two places. And while I was studying for my LSATs, I got a call from a gentleman who, you know, said he'd like to meet me. His kids went to the same high school as I did, and he had a cool story. But I end up going to this meeting, and, you know, I show up in a three-piece suit, you know, just dapper as can be. And I remember walking into a nice office building in downtown San Diego across from Petco Park, and he kind of laughed because I, you know, came in a suit and I had a binder with my resume in it. He just asked me what I wanted to do with my life, and, you know, I was pretty honest with him. I said, look, I've always wanted to run a business. I've been a little lost, and I'm kind of defaulting to go to law school. And that's just, you know, he chuckled even harder at that point because he goes, you really want to be a lawyer? You know, and at the time, I didn't, you know, I didn't really understand that some of the negative thoughts that go behind, you know, being an attorney from the public setting. I do now. We talked for an hour. He told me a story, and said he had an opportunity with a pet resort that his daughter had started, you know, 6 or 7 years prior, and she had since disengaged quite a bit, and, you know, not for any bad reason. She just had a young son, and she was focused on that, and the business just needed somebody to come in to kind of lead it. So that's how it all started, really. I got into this because I was a little lost, and I just happened to meet the right person at the right time who believed that I would put in the effort to try and make it better. And, you know, what I've learned over the last 18 years is, you know, most things in the world is, you know, a little bit of trial by error. You know, try something, if it works, you lean into it. This particular business and caring for animals, we were really fortunate because early on we were contacted by local municipalities, government, to house their animals. So we were taught how to run a pet hotel under really strict circumstances. I mean, the level of detail that we took when we take care of animals is bar none, above and beyond what most pet resorts do at this point. And I wouldn't say it was due to any genius for me. It was due to, you know, having these really strict guidelines from the government to say this is how it has to be done. These are the notes that need to be taken. These are the systems you have to have in place. And it really just set a good foundation of structure for the business. And, you know, since then I've never known anything different. We've always run it in a similar fashion, which is really, you know, it's equated to really good pet care for that particular reason. It's not, you know, anybody coming up with a protocol or an SOP. It was dictated to us, and as I've analyzed it, you know, even 18 years later, and I'm like, God, these guys were spot on. They knew a lot about animals. They knew exactly what to do and what to do, and we just had a lot of success over the last 18 years in doing it.
Gosh, I hear your story. Thinking, I've interviewed many people on this program who've gone to different careers, that so many times it's happenstance that leads to the career. And I wonder, do you believe you were led there, or this is, you could have randomly gone into another business? How do you feel looking back?
You know, I've been so busy over the last 20 years that I haven't had a lot of time to reflect on some of the decisions that were made. I've just kind of been a proponent of looking forward and not looking back, because I think, you know, in looking back, you just you can go down a rabbit hole that's unnecessary. You know, it's all about making decisions and moving forward. But to be honest, yeah, I think it was meant to be. You know, the person that got me involved is still a part of it, and we talked about three things that were just uber important to him, and they really aligned with a lot of the teachings that I learned from my dad, and it was about morality, ethics, and honesty. And those things resonated with me huge. You know, my dad was the guy, you know, at the baseball field that would, you know, it wasn't a win or lose thing. It was, Are we playing with the right attitude? Are we treating other people with respect? And are we including the people that maybe are outliers? So when he said those things, I was like, you know, this seems like a really good fit for me, just because of I saw the opportunity in place, and then I saw the type of people that I was going to have to, at the time I was working for. You know, now I own the business, you know, in tow with them. But at the time, you know, these guys were my employers, and everything they had to say just made a lot of sense. At the end of the day, it was an easy decision to make, and I think it was a great decision. And looking back, I don't think I would have been a very good attorney. the sales part, you know, no problem, but the actual, you know, getting into the litigation or, you know, reading the law and really being excited about it probably would have dwindled pretty quickly in my mind.
So how would you counsel a young adult who's kind of lost right now? Would you tell them, keep going forward and things will materialize? What would you tell them?
You know, I think for a young adult who is, you know, late in high school, thinking about college, it's really about having an action plan. And that action plan shouldn't be just, I'm going to get a degree. It should be, you know, I'm going to make a decision that says, hey, you know, I'm going to go and I'm going to get a degree in electrical engineering because I want to work in that field. Or I want to get a degree in medicine because I want to be in the medical field. You know, for me, it was business. But the one thing I would say about that is, yeah, it's a decision that you're making, but it is, you know, it's a notch in your belt that you can fall back on. You know, you don't have to be working for NASA to be an electrical engineer. You know, you could still be in sales, or you could be in, you know, consulting services. You're not stuck to that decision. And I think that's so hard for young people, is I think they believe that if they make this decision, this is their life path. And really, you know, I know a ton of guys that were attorneys who don't practice law, and they're super successful in business. I know a lot of people who started, you know, in the medical field who are, you know, doing something entirely different. It's still wellness related, but they're not working at a hospital per se. So my advice would be, you know, choose something, but just know that, you know, that something that you choose doesn't lock you into it for life. It just opens a few doors that you may not have been, you know, available to you if you didn't make the choice. And, you know, the big part of making those decisions, and whether it's college or, you know, a trade that you go into, is it's about finishing. You know, it's about starting something, seeing it through, getting it finished, and knowing that I always have this to fall back on. But in regards to the college system, like, I think now more so than ever, especially with the vast expense that it requires for, you know, young kids to go to college and the debt they may take on to do it, I think parents need to probably do a better job of just coaching their kids on saying, hey, if this is a decision we're going to make, we're going to see this through, and these are likely the opportunities that are going to arise from it. So that would be my one piece of advice, is have a game plan. See it through, but know that, you know, just by finishing that particular thing doesn't mean you're locked into that. You know, I have a son now who, you know, college wasn't for him, and he's a really intelligent kid, and, you know, super well-adjusted and really sociable. And now he's 3.5 years into his electrical apprentice program to be a tradesman, an electrician. And I'm so proud of him. You know, the guy, he gets up at 5 in the morning and he works till, you know, 4 in the afternoon. He comes home from work, he's got dirt all over him, and he's passionate about it. Like, for the first time since, you know, his, you know, kind of soccer career, like, it's the first thing where I can tell he's excited about what he's doing and what he's learning. And for the trades, you know, I'm a big proponent of that stuff because I build a lot of pet hotels, and I get to meet a lot of the trades guys. The coolest part is, you know, with something like that, you know, it's not local. It's national. It's worldly. You can be an electrician anywhere in the world if that's the deal. And I think in the current environment with the kids these days, they all really want to be able to travel. So, you know, if you can find something that you can do that allows you to move around the country while you're getting paid, I mean, there's a lot of power in that for you.
I like it. I tell kids, young adults that the average person changes career five times. So you're absolutely right, Ben, that the first job is not your last job necessarily. And don't take it that seriously, but do complete it. Completely resonate with you. If we could just go back a little bit further in your history, you said you always wanted to be in business. Can you explain why that was?
I got to say, like, I don't want to say it happened, like, in my, you know, my sub-teenage years, but I remember as a teenager, like, walking into, you know, a surf shop saying, this would be so cool to own, you know, this would be a fun thing to do on a regular basis. You know, you're involved in the community, you get to influence the youth, you know, it's part of something you love that you're passionate about. So, yeah, I mean, I would say, like, mid-teens, I kind of had an idea of the direction I wanted to go in. And it wasn't ever, like, the fear of, you know, having somebody to answer to, because, you know, even if you own a business, you have somebody that you have to answer to, whether it's the government who's lent you money or a bank or private investors or whatever. I mean, you still have somebody that you're going to answer questions to and make sure that you're on your, you know, your P's and Q's with the performance. But I really like the idea of looking at something from the outside or from, you know, a mile in the sky and looking down on it and saying, like, how can we improve this experience? I really enjoyed working in the hotel atmosphere when I was a bell captain down at the U.S. Grant Hotel, and I enjoyed how each part of the process was to help the customer have a better experience, and whether that was the type of information that I were to give them when I picked them up from the airport or what I could tell them about the hotel or about the city. And that was just one piece of the, you know, the synergy within the hotel. You know, that one piece was, okay, their first experience was they met this nice guy who's going to tell them a lot about the city, what the hotel has to offer, and, you know, maybe where to go for dinner. But, you know, the next piece was at the front desk. You know, how was their experience? You know, were they treated the right way? Was it timely? The next part of it was, you know, somebody, you know, going up to their room. Is it set up in a way that is, you know, that looks good for the client, feels like a place, you know, like a home away from home? But I really just saw the whole synergy of the whole thing from start to finish. And that's the type of stuff that I focus now, you know, at my pet hotels, which are, you know, quite similar to an actual hotel. The only difference with us is, you know, our clients can't tell us how much fun they're having. They can't tell us if they're hungry. They can't tell us if they don't feel good. And in order to be really good at it, you have to be really detail-oriented in the notes that you take about the behaviors of the animals that are in your care.
So let's shift to that. You mentioned pet resort, pet hotel, those synonymous. And tell me, explain what that is. How would you care other than a hotel for animals?
Basically, it's like a vacation for the animal. So you have a few different types of experiences that the dogs can have. So you'll have clients that are traveling for work or for vacation, and they need a place to take care of their animal, and we provide that care. So if we do boarding, you know, believe it or not, doggy daycare has become a huge thing. It was always a thing, but it's become ever so relevant because you have so much of the workforce between 24 and 55 are dual income families who love animals, and they realize, like, yeah, I want to have this animal, but I work 40 to 60 hours a week, and I can't, you know, I can walk my dog a couple times a week, you know, and the average person will walk their dog about 2 miles a week. You bring your dog in for a day of doggy daycare, you know, middle of the week per se, and your dog will do an average of 6 to 9 miles of running and walking while they're there with us for 8 hours. So it's a great break for the parents and a good experience for the dogs. We also do full-service grooming, so, you know, from show-type haircuts to basic bathing. And then we're really big into dog training, so we hire the best dog trainers from throughout California and Arizona to come into our business and be the figureheads within the program. So our resorts are kind of all-encompassing, so we offer all of those particular things, and then we offer really high-end high-end dog foods as a kind of a cap for any of our clients that need the pet stuff on check-in or check-out.
Do you have a vet affiliated with the resort in case there's a problem?
100%. So, yeah, you build relationships with vets that you trust. You have standard operating procedures to recognize behavior that may need attention. And yeah, we have a hotline to a vet if we ever in need of that type of service. And, you know, it does come up from time to time. But, yeah, you work closely with your veterinarian just in case you do need that service. And you always try and, you know, make those partnerships with the best in the business. So.
I find it fascinating because this is a business I'm not used to, of course. I have a lot more questions for you about pet hotels and pet resorts, which we'll get to right after this break. This is CenterPoint with Dr. Ron Unbar.
Coming attraction, Life Guide for Teens, Harnessing Your Inner Power to Be Healthy, Happy, and Confident. A new book by Dr. Ron Unbar to be published early 2025. Dr. Unbar's renowned counseling practice, CenterPoint Medicine, doesn't fix teens who are struggling. They give them the tools to heal themselves and support them while that healing happens. Life Guide for Teens will share Dr. Unbar's tools for self-empowerment and give teens hundreds of tips to choose from to help themselves heal. The book will be available from Amazon and wherever fine books are sold.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Healing and changing children's lives with hypnosis is very real and very possible. Dr. Ron Unbar's new book, Changing Children's Lives with Hypnosis, provides you meaningful stories and expert explanations to show you not only the process of hypnosis, but its many benefits for overall wellness. Whether a parent, practitioner, or medical doctor, this book opens the way to complete connection, so necessary for healing. Get your copy of Changing Children's Lives with Hypnosis at Amazon.com or visit dranbar.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Dr. Ron Unbar and his dedicated team of healthcare providers offer unique health services to help patients overcome psychological roadblocks or use the power of their minds to improve their overall health and well-being. At CenterPoint Medicine, with services in La Jolla, California, and Syracuse, New York, this caring staff are waiting just to help you. Find out more at CenterPointMedicine.com. Can't wait? Make your appointment now. Call 858-201-4001. That's 858-201-4001.
Audiobooks gives you instant access to over 50,000 of the bestsellers and hottest book titles in romance, mystery, fiction, and many other genres. Just visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Audiobooks to get started.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
If you are a medical or licensed healthcare professional or just anyone looking for a qualified hypnosis practitioner, then go on over to ASCH.net. That's the American Society of Clinical Hypnosis. At ASCH.net, you can get certified, attend workshops, and even find a hypnosis practitioner or consultant. ASCH provides an opportunity to learn and interact with colleagues. So whether you're a professional wanting to learn hypnosis or a patient wanting help with a problem, visit ASCH.net now.
More exhilarating talk. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to CenterPoint. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Unbar. We're talking with Ben Vosburgh, the CEO of Pets Commons Pet Resort, which sounds like pretty luxurious. How do the dogs get to run nine miles in a day?
You know, Ron, you'd be shocked to hear that, you know, some of our play yards are, you know, they're anywhere, range from anywhere from, you know, 3,000 square feet up to 15,000 square feet. And we threw Fitbits on dogs to see what the level of activity was versus the smaller yards versus the bigger yards. And what we found was the level of movement was very similar. So, yeah, we tested it. We wanted to see what the level of activity was for the dog.
Wow. And so the dogs are together with each other, or how do you make sure they're not dog fights?
We have a pretty resolute evaluation process. So just like with our children, they may have five or six friends that they get along with, and there's just that one that they can't get along with. And we have an evaluation process that identifies, you know, dogs that are really good in a group setting, dogs that may need to be in a limited play setting, meaning they get overstimulated, so their sessions may only be, you know, an hour to, you know, in hour increments as opposed to the whole day. And then you have a few that just don't work well with other animals, and we have options for them too. So we'll do individual play where it's just one-on-one with our team, where the dogs are still getting that full type of enrichment and, you know, stuff that they need while they're staying with us. But it's one-on-one with a person as opposed to a group setting.
Wow, and how long does this evaluation take to figure out a dog?
So the typical evaluation is about a four-hour process from start to finish. Oddly, you typically have a pretty good inclination of how things are going to go in the first 15 minutes. But over that four-hour period, and sometimes even into the next couple of days, you will see dogs develop behaviors that are different than you saw in the evaluation, just because they're getting more comfortable in the environment, they're getting more comfortable with the handlers on site, and you know, we'll start to see certain types of behaviors that are awesome, or some that we may need to address. And if there are things that we need to address, we always run a really transparent business. You know, the big thing back in the, you know, late 80s, 90s, and even early 2000s was the word pet resort didn't exist, right? It was, you took your dog to a dog kennel. And when I think of a dog kennel, I just think of, you know, like an outside setting, chain link fencing, you know, a feeder bowl that spins, and the dogs are just in this kind of depressing setting. And probably in the late 90s to early 2000s, I know we were the first one in San Diego to really go to that kind of upper level where we were offering things that the traditional dog kennel didn't have. So, you know, we have some of our suites were up to, you know, 200-300 square feet. They had, you know, they had a flat screen TV. We had a live camera in there. And we put in live cameras throughout the facility to create that level of transparency for our clients. And that wasn't so much as, hey, we want you to watch your dogs, which is fine. We wanted you to see that we are completely and utterly transparent, and that you can see everything that's happening within the business at a moment's notice if you're a client at Paw Common.
Do you have an app where they can access your cameras?
Yeah, everybody has an app with a private password, and if your dog's playing in a group setting, you're going to get access to see how they're doing. You know, there's some funny stories about that. I've had some really amazing clients over the last 18 years for me, and I've just met some of the coolest people in San Diego and in Phoenix. I've got to hear a lot of cool stories about their careers, their children, their animals, et cetera, and have made lifelong friends because of it. But I've also ran into some of these people, and they've come to me with questions that you just wouldn't believe. The one that I always resonates with me is we had a client who came all the time. I mean, they knew everybody on staff. I think at one point this client actually made my general manager a partial executor of the estate for her animals, meaning if something were to happen to her, she was going to allow this general manager to take her dogs, and there was a fund that was set up to take care of these animals. So, I mean, the level of affluence within some of our clients was pretty high, but this client in particular called me one day, and she said, Dan, I need to talk to you. This is serious. And I got taken aback a little bit. I said, sure, yeah, what do you need? Anything. And she point blank looked at me, and she said, Ben, my dog is not looking at the camera. And fortunately, you know, it took me like 20 seconds to respond, you know, because part of me was giggling a little bit inside and part of me was concerned because I wanted to keep the client happy. And I looked at this client and I said, you know, I got to tell you, your dog has no idea what a camera is. And she just started laughing, and it was a hoot. We had a great conversation about it, and she goes, you know what? And she told me this. She goes, you know what's so funny? Until you said that, it didn't even cross my mind. But, you know, the type of clients at the time. It was new. You know, the stuff we were doing was new. Like creating that level of inclusion into the process. You know, people assume that a dog would know what a web camera was, and you know, for me, I'm like, really? You know, I was kind of shocked, but at the same time, I had to take the time to explain it to her. And after I did, she just laughed her head off, and we had, you know, she was a great client for the next 10 or 15 years.
Are most of your clients repeat clients?
Yeah. I mean, it's a natural occurrence in business in general to lose anywhere from 8 to 25% of your clients per year. And you're going to lose those clients for, you know, for all sorts of reasons. Typically, it's people move due to careers. People move because they bought a house in a different neighborhood and they might try a different daycare, you know, maybe one of our competitors. You know, every once in a while somebody has a bad experience and they don't want to come back. That's, you know, obviously we don't want that to happen. But you're always trying to acquire new clients, but, you know, new clients are just a really small part of how you run a business. You're building relationships every day. And that relationship is not when somebody slides their credit card at the counter. That relationship is how's the experience? You know, I'm a big fanatic of Disney, and not a fanatic that goes to Disney, you know, five times a year like my sister. They go to Disney all the time, but when I go to Disneyland, I look at how they've set it up. I mean, the sound, the smell, the way I'm treated, the way we're addressed, the customer service, it's all of these things culminating within the experience, you know, of Disney that I find so utterly fascinating. And when you really look at it, that's just a small part. The parks are just a small part of what, you know, Disney is, right? But that's what we try to create at our pet hotels, is we want you to come in and, you know, we want the place to smell great. We want you to be greeted in the right way. We want you, you know, somebody to address your animal in the right way. You know, when we check you out, we want to show you a good report card of exactly what your dog's experience was. Because you can have the most beautiful thing in the world, whether it's a pet hotel, a restaurant, you know, a graphic design business. It can be as pretty as you want it to be, but if the experience isn't exceptional, all of the beauty of it is worthless. You could, in my opinion, you could have the worst-looking pet resort in the world, but if the people there create the experience that's amazing, that will trump any design or any amount of money that was invested in the original build.
And I think what you're sharing with us is what is true for all successful businesses. So I thank you so much for teaching this. I have many more questions. We'll be right back after these messages. This is Centerpoint with Dr. Ron Unbar.
Make-A-Wish has been granting life-changing wishes for children and families for over 40 years. A wish is something that gives children the opportunity to look outside their illness and restore a sense of childhood back to the child. With the help of donors and more than 43,000 worldwide volunteers, Make-A-Wish has collectively granted more than 520,000 wishes worldwide. Dr. Anbar has referred many patients to Make-A-Wish. To make a donation, go to worldwish.org. That's worldwish.org.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
Healing and changing children's lives with hypnosis is very real and very possible. Dr. Ron Ambar's new book, Changing Children's Lives with Hypnosis, provides you meaningful stories and expert explanations to show you not only the process of hypnosis, but its many benefits for overall wellness. Whether a parent, practitioner, or medical doctor, this book opens the way to complete connection, so necessary for healing. Get your copy of Changing Children's Lives with Hypnosis at Amazon.com or visit DrAnbar.com.
Reach your health and fitness goals. Whether you want to lose weight, learn to dance, build muscle, or just live healthy, Beachbody gives you unlimited access to the nation's most popular fitness and weight loss solutions. Visit our advertiser page and click on Beachbody now.
Dr. Ron Ambar and his dedicated team of healthcare providers offer unique health services to help patients overcome psychological roadblocks or use the power of their minds to improve their overall health and well-being. At Centerpoint Medicine, with services in La Jolla, California, and Syracuse, New York, This caring staff are waiting just to help you. Find out more at centerpointmedicine.com. Can't wait? Make your appointment now. Call 858-201-4001. That's 858-201-4001.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Coming attraction, life guide for teens harnessing your inner power to be healthy, happy, and confident. A new book by Dr. Ron Ambar to be published early 2025. Dr. Ambar's renowned counseling practice, Centerpoint Medicine, doesn't fix teens who are struggling. They give them the tools to heal themselves and support them while that healing happens. Life Guide for Teens will share Dr. Ambar's tools for self-empowerment and give teens hundreds of tips to choose from to help themselves heal. The book will be available from Amazon and wherever fine books are sold.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to Center Point. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Ambar. Our guest is Ben Vosburgh. We're talking about his experience as a CEO at Paw Commons Pet Resort, which sounds like a fun place to be. So when your dog clients come back, are they eager to get going?
I always tell clients that, and this is our level of transparency and honesty, and it's probably to a fault. We probably lose business because of it. We don't push dogs into group settings or into boarding settings, daycare, whatever it may be, if it's not a good fit for both us or for the dog. And I've been fortunate to be able to do that. You know, some people are in a business position where they have to take the clients because they have to pay the bills, and we've just never been in a position where that's a problem. But typically, you know, the animal will speak volumes when they walk through the door. You know, what I tell clients is, you know, come in for 3 or 4 days. If on the fourth day of your daycare, your boarding or grooming experience or working with the trainers, if your dog's running through the door, it's because they love it. They're telling you, you know, as a pet professional, like, I can read dog body language so quickly. And it's not unheard of for a dog to come in nervous on the first day, and by the third day, it's a totally different look, right? Because they understand, like, this place is fun, the energy is good, the people are awesome. But the animal does all the talking. Now, most of us take our kids to the doctor, or we'll take our dog to the veterinarian. And if you watch that body language, there's typically a little bit of worry. There's typically a little bit of nervousness. And, you know, you have to eclipse that through a few sessions to get there. You know, much like in therapy, you know, it's in your first session, you don't learn something. It's on your 10th or your 15th one where you kind of break through and go, oh, I'm starting to see where this is working and where the energy's coming from. So, most of our clients speak for themselves without speaking at all through dog body language, and we try and educate our clients to look for that. Because if you get to the resort and your dog's cowering inside, like, that's a sign that your dog's not enjoying it. It doesn't mean that something bad happened at the resort. It just means that your dog might not be a good fit for that particular resort. We've had dogs that will come to one location and we said, you know, why don't you try this other one? And we just see a dramatic shift. Nothing's changed. A lot of the employees are even the same. It just so happens that the first time they came in, they had an experience where they were a little uncomfortable. They switched to a different location and all is well. So, Ron, just like you or I, you know, we go into a business one day and it just so happens that the people at the front desk are having a rough day or they're super busy, and it's a less than stellar performance, you know. Most sound, reasonable people will give that another chance to see if it changes. Now, if it's repetitive and, you know, people are always getting that energy, well, obviously they're going to walk away and try something different, and, you know, that's totally okay too.
How many locations do you have in San Diego?
We have 4 here in San Diego, with likely a 5th one coming. Have 2 in Phoenix, and then a new one going up in Tucson.
Congratulations on the expansion. Must be business is pretty good.
the weather, the climate, the people, it's amazing. But, you know, Arizona's beautiful for like 9 months out of the year. It's a pretty amazing place, too. I just, between like June 1st and May or September 10th, I'd like to stay in San Diego if at all possible.
Now, you call the business pet resort. Do you do pets other than dogs?
We are considering opening a cattery within one of our locations because the demand has gone up. So, yeah, it's possible, but we don't do exotics.
So
and exotics would be birds and reptiles and such as such the sort.
So talk to me a bit about the psychology. You've talked some already about customer service. How do you deal with a difficult owner who either has unreasonable demands or unreasonable expectations?
There's a line that is crossed at some point in a conversation with a difficult client. And it's not crossed very often. I mean, I'm talking one times out of a thousand where we just have to say, look, we're probably not a good fit for you. You're not a good fit for us. Let's part ways and, you know, we'll try and be friends later. But typically in a difficult situation, I think honesty, logic, and transparency are easy ways of communication. And the big thing is empathy. You know, something that may not seem that dramatic to my team as pet professionals may be extremely dramatic for a client who has their first dog, their dog gets sick. You know, maybe they get a virus or they get a kennel cough, which is, you know, something that can happen at a pet resort. It doesn't happen often, but it can. And for them, it's a big deal. And what you have to do as a business owner or a general manager at a location is have empathy for that situation and try and understand, like, hey, I know this is not a crazy medical event, but it's crazy for them, and we got to respect that. And we have to take the time to show them empathy and show that we care and show them the plan of action for trying to deal with those problems. But honestly, some of the best relationships I've ever had in the pet resort business is from an experience just like that. Because I don't care if there's a location in Phoenix or in Tucson or anyone in San Diego that I might not be at on a daily basis. Most of the ones in San Diego I'm at every day. But, you know, we're calling. We're participating. You know, we're making the phone calls and we're making sure that we're staying in touch with those particular people. And from those, you know, sometimes difficult situations, I've created lifelong friends from. I mean, it's about not running from those situations. It's about just dealing with them and taking them in and being sympathetic to what your client is talking about and understanding their position. And that's hard for some of my staff that are inexperienced. You know, when I have somebody that's been at the business for 6-7 months, they may get really defensive about it, and it's not the way to act. You know, the way empathy for your client, trying to understand everything they're going through, and you know, always just being transparent and honest. It makes life really easy to be transparent, honest, and ethical.
You know, as I'm listening to you, I'm applying what you're saying to therapy with humans and other businesses. I think this is true across the board. Whatever, all human endeavors, I think, would benefit from your kind of approach that you're describing. So,
every business, anybody in their personal life, whatever problems you may be having, they may seem very extreme to you, but when you start to understand that everybody has these problems, it allows you to relate. It allows you to connect with people. Like, when I drive on the freeway and somebody cuts me off, you know, Andrea always gives me a hard time. She goes, "Are you kidding me?" And I'm like, "Why do I care? Like, yeah, they're going fast. They cut me off. No big deal." That's just the way I try and look at life in general. It's, you know, we're all crossing paths in certain ways, and just try and do the best you can, and just be honest with yourself. You know, do the best that you can on a daily basis, and typically you'll have good results.
Amen to that. This is Center Point with Dr. Ron Unbar. Thank you.
More than 30,000 children and adults of every race and ethnic group in the U.S. have cystic fibrosis. Cystic fibrosis is a disease causing long-lasting lung infections, limiting the ability to breathe over time. Dr. Anbar participated in research that helped advance survival of cystic fibrosis patients by more than 20 years. He encourages you to donate to the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation to help find a cure. It's easy to donate. Go to cff.org. That's cff.org.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
If you are a medical or licensed healthcare professional or just anyone looking for a qualified hypnosis practitioner, then go on over to ASCH.net. That's the American Society of Clinical Hypnosis. At ASCH.net, you can get certified, attend workshops, and even find a hypnosis practitioner or consultant. ASCH provides an opportunity to learn and interact with colleagues. So whether you're a professional wanting to learn hypnosis or a patient wanting help with a problem, visit ASCH.net now.
Constant Contact and your small business make a perfect fit for marketing. They give you what you need to succeed. Fast and easy email marketing at your fingertips. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Constant Contact to start your marketing.
Healing and changing children's lives with hypnosis is very real and very possible. Dr. Ron Ambar's new book, Changing Children's Lives with Hypnosis, provides you meaningful stories and expert explanations to show you not only the process of hypnosis, but its many benefits for overall wellness. Whether a parent, practitioner, or medical doctor, this book opens the way to complete connection, so necessary for healing. Get your copy of Changing Children's Lives with Hypnosis at Amazon.com or visit DrAnbar.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Dr. Ron Ambar and his dedicated team of healthcare providers offer unique health services to help patients overcome psychological roadblocks or use the power of their minds to improve their overall health and well-being. At Centerpoint Medicine with services in La Jolla, California and Syracuse, New York, this caring staff are waiting just to help you. Find out more at centerpointmedicine.com. Can't wait? Make your appointment now. Call 858-201-4001. That's 858-201-4001.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to Center Point. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Ambar. We're speaking with Ben Vosburgh, the CEO of Paw Commons Pet Resort. And I'm wondering, do your trainers do dog therapy? Like if you have a nervous dog, do they do something special to help the dog become more calm?
100%. I mean, a lot of what ails dogs is being comfortable in the surroundings that they're in. And the surroundings dictate a lot of the experience, you know, for an animal. It's unbeknown to a lot of people, but, you know, the actual dog kennel as it was built for you to house your animal, whether it was, you know, for where they sleep at night, I'm talking about within your home, like the kennel, it was set up as a place for an animal to go into an enclosure that most resonated with them as a pack animal to be protected on all four sides. So typically when you see an animal go into a tiny kennel like you would have, we don't have these at our resorts, but you know, someone will have these collapsible ones where a dog can go into. And 99 times out of 100, the dog will go into the little room, and they'll turn around facing the front. And why do they do that? It's because they're protected on all four sides, and they're looking out at the front to see what's coming. So the kennel has like a bad word to it, but really it's a protection thing for the animals so where they feel comfortable in their setting. When we do a lot of potty training exercises with animals, we try and introduce those kennels for people at home. And what they find is not only does it work for, you know, the potty training because it allows you to make sure you know where the dog is at all times, but at the same time, dogs start to become really comfortable in that space. It's a bad word, you know, for a dog to be in a crated kennel, but at the same time, if you really look at it from the animal's experience, it can be really a safe place for them to be. So some dogs, after they go through their potty training, you know, people leave those things typically in their bedroom or in their living room where the dog will sleep. And the dog goes there for comfort. The dogs will go in there without being prompted to do it. But yeah, we do a ton of work with animals in therapy. trying to make them more comfortable in their own surroundings. And you know, just like with kids, Doc, they're all different. Probably the hardest part about the pet business is every client is different. You know, you can read books like E-Myths and, you know, study the story of McDonald's or study, you know, Henry Ford, Elon Musk. These people have created these great production lines. And, you know, I had to go through a lot of that in college, you know. And at the time, I found it to be fairly fascinating. But in the pet business, you can have standard operating procedures. You can have, you know, a good setting, a foundation of what you're going to do in certain situations. But the variable shifts with every animal. So because each one is different, you can never have a pure production line because each dog has its own personality, its own desires, its own feeding, its own medication, and you're doing your best to make that happen for each and every animal.
Again, so much like humans, same thing. I tell parents, every child is different. You need to adjust to your child. So, Ben, you've had a lot of life experiences, and in this last segment of the show, I often like to ask our guests if they could give two or three tips to our audience that they should employ starting today to improve their lives. What three tips would you give?
You know, early in my career, I would work 6 days a week, sometimes 12, 13 hours a day. And it was fine. You know, to me, it was exciting. I enjoyed it. I still, to this point, like some people are addicted to drugs. Some people are addicted to, you know, addicted to whatever things you can, you know, some bad things, right? For me, I was addicted to making this business as good as it could possibly be. And the coolest part is I still have it. And, like, my executive team, my GMs, they have it. So when we get together and we talk about how can we improve, it's not like how can we improve the bottom line. It's how can we improve the experience, because if the experience is better, all the other stuff just seems to work out for us. So my one piece of advice would be early on in any career, you're going to go really, you know, hard. For a minute there, and what will happen, or what happened to me, and, you know, why you and I became accustomed to each other was my mental health started to suffer. You know, I wasn't sleeping. My diet was, you know, somewhat restricted. I wasn't dealing with the day-to-day stuff because my mind just got so locked into this addiction to the business, to the process, to the energy, et cetera, right? And at some point, you have to deal with the other side, which is, you know, your health. And for me, it was my mental health. And, you know, I always scream it out loud, like, hey, I'm a guy that's dealt with, I've had some depression a few times in my life, but my problem has typically been anxiety. And the anxiety, I've had panic attacks, you know, for the last, you know, 25, 30 years probably. But what I started doing was working on it, you know. And I worked on it in a multitude of ways. So now, like, I still put in a lot of time into my business, but I also put in a vast portion of my time into myself, because myself is, if I can get myself mentally healthy, if I can get myself physically healthy, it's better for what I'm trying to accomplish in my career, right? And I don't think it's something that anybody should run from. I don't think it's something that anybody should be ashamed of. Like, I scream it at the top of my lungs. It actually gives me comfort for you to know that, hey, I go through bouts of anxiety. Like, there's times where, you know, I don't want to be around people. There are times when sometimes I get fear of going surfing, you know, for the what ifs of what could happen. And by dealing with it through therapy, you know, I thought, like, the first couple times I was like, I was going to have this breakthrough moment. And I think most people do. They assume they're going to go see the therapist, or they're going to see a psychiatrist that's going to help them through, or medicate them, or whatever it may be. And it's not that. You know, for me, it's not. It's a process. It's taking the time out of your day to spend, you know, 30 or 45 minutes having a conversation with somebody, and just to unload what you need to unload and get some feedback. And that is so therapeutic. There's so much to be gained by taking that time for yourself, because if you want to be great at something, you have to be at your best self, and that's a combination of mental, physical, and, you know, ethical self, you know, doing the right things, right? But I know in my work with Eron is, it's been profound. And for anyone that's going to get into any, it doesn't matter if you're in business. It doesn't matter, like, you know, if you're in college. You've got to put in the time to yourself. You've got to have a balance. And I don't care if it's 90-10, 80-20, 70-30, but you've got to find that balance of what works for both you, your career, most importantly, your family. And all of those things have to create a really good synergy in order for you to have a ton of success.
So I think the message is maintain balance and be sure to take care of yourself, because of course, your best self if you're taking care of yourself. And it's not selfish, correct?
No, it's not selfish. I actually think I think it's the opposite. Because when you're at your best, you're able to be at your best for your supporting cast. You're able to be at your best for your family. You know, for me, I noticed it when there were some events that I wouldn't want to go to for my kids. And, like, it's because I was uncomfortable. And I was, man, I got to figure this out because I don't want to be somebody that's not participating. And I still work at it. I still have days where it's a struggle. But at the end of the day, what I learned is I started, like, just being really open and honest about it probably, you know, 10 years ago. And, you know, it wasn't that people changed the way they were around me, but they definitely opened up. And they would say, oh, I deal with that too. Yeah, I've had moments like that. And selfishly, it made me feel a little more normal, because at the time when you're going through difficult times like that, you feel like you're on an island. But when you start to understand, like, when you drive down the street, there's probably 25 people around you on the freeway that are going through similar stuff, have similar problems that you have, and, you know, we're all going through the rigmarole of life. But I think the biggest thing is just don't be ashamed of it. Just own it and you know, walk forward with your head held high.
I love it. So on that note, Ben, we'll finish the interview. Thank you so much for sharing parts of your life with us. You've taught me a lot. I'm sure you've taught our audience a lot. So thank you.
Thanks, Doc. Appreciate you.
And this is a Centerpoint with Dr. Ron Anbar.